and from Norman Sicily, from Venice, these traditions passed west. Likewise, there's an enormous number of decorative arts, ivies, reliquies, furniture, tapestries. One of the best examples of that is to go into the Tapestry Museum in Cologne, in Germany today, and there's an amazing collection of Byzantine tapestries, many of them arriving in this trade, this upsurge of trade in the period of the Crusades. So decorative arts were transmitted to Western Europe. Many of these decorative arts were seen as somehow aristocratic, as privileged. They influenced European styles, European tastes. And so in the visual arts, the transmission was rather rapid. You had architectural traditions, mosaic and painting traditions being transferred to Italy. We'll also see that some of those traditions were also brought into the Crusader states. And in another lecture coming up, we'll see that the Latin kings of Jerusalem were quite willing to employ Byzantine mosaicists, painters, and craftsmen in their own kingdom. There's also a great deal of trade in relics, and relics are important because relics inspire construction of churches, reliquies, and all sorts of objects. There's the relic trade alone would ensure that other arts would come along with them. Finally, there is one point that should be stressed, and this is really a result of the sack of 1204 and the Latin rule in Greece. And increasingly, this contact between Byzantines and Crusaders begins to lead to a re-identification or reassessment of what it meant to be a Hellene. That is a Greek. The traditional term for Greeks is a Hellene. In the late Roman period, Hellene was associated with pagan. A person who was a Hellene, such as the Emperor Julian, who went back over to paganism, renounced his Christianity, was seen as a derogatory term. That meant you worship the old gods. And so Byzantines would always call themselves Romans, hoi Romanoi in Greek. They would never call themselves Greeks. They'd never call themselves Byzantines. But as a result of Latin rule, as a result of the contact of the Crusaders, especially starting already in the 13th century, there are some Byzantine intellectuals who are beginning to realize that they are heirs also to this Greek pagan tradition, as well as all the Christian church fathers and the Roman political legacy. And what the Crusades do is result is to create a situation where Byzantines begin to go back and rediscover their Hellenic pagan heritage. Now, the fruition of this germ that's planted in the early 13th century is not going to be until the 14th and 15th centuries. But it does lead to a rediscovery of that classical past, to a study of it on its own terms. Plato will be interpreted in the 13th and 14th century as a philosopher rather than just as a handbook in order to understand your Christian faith. At the same time, it also sharpens the sense and identity of the Latin Christians, the Crusaders who've come east. And in the 13th, 14th, 15th centuries, increasingly the Crusaders come to understand, or the Western Europeans, to be more accurate, understand that there is this classical heritage, there is this classical past, quite distinct from their Roman Christian past they knew of, which they inherited from the late Roman world. And that perhaps is the greatest legacy that came out of this exchange. It wasn't intended. It was completely unplanned. And in some ways, as the result of the hideous destruction of the city of Constantinople and the imposition of Latin rule. But nonetheless, from the Crusades came this rediscovery of a Hellenic classical past. And that was to be not only in the Byzantine world, but in the Western European world. And that cultural achievement is perhaps one of the most enduring because it leads to very important changes in subsequent centuries.